Tonight is anniversary night. Woo! The format of tonight's meeting will be a main speaker who will speak for 25 minutes, followed by an information break and the anniversary celebrants. Our main speaker tonight is Jeanette.
I expected some foreplay. I'm very sorry. Jeanette Manning, alcoholic. Sober today only because I've got AA sponsorship since August the 28th of 1988, and for that I owe you my life. Mother of God, I thought, man, there's a 10-minute speaker, something else, how do you do? Oh, my heck, because I am sitting next to my sponsor going, I'm sitting next to my sponsor who lives in Los Angeles, and I live in Dallas. This is my life. I promise you that I am the girl that your mother warned you about, because my mom was warning you about me, I promise. My mom was like, if you go out with Jeanette, I don't want to hear about it come Monday. She didn't want to hear about it from the judge. She certainly didn't want to hear about it from your wife. And she really did not hear about it from her. I know that my mom's a good girl. I know that she, to this day, loved and devoted to one man, right? My mom kissed a really cute Marine in Southern California in 1971, and I happened. And as soon as she found out that he was married, she took off. She was like, whoa, I'm not going to be a homewrecker. You know, I'm taking off. And my father left that first wife and that first son to be born to him in April of 71, and I came in October. So if you're doing math, I got sober and I was 16. And my mom went to her father, who was working in San Carlos, Arizona. So I am Blackfeet Indian, but I was born at an Indian Health Service hospital in San Carlos, Arizona, and my dad tracked my mom down. So my whole life, every time that, you know, he punched her, and every time something shattered in the middle of the night, and every time that I was in a foster home, and every time that she was in ICU, it was my fault. Because if she had never gotten pregnant with me, he'd have never hunted her down. And I carried that with me my entire life. And I knew that my mother's people looked at me with that contempt and that disregard because I was Gunny's daughter. My father carried a .357, and he could throw a loaded sofa. And so he could take a couch with people on it and whoo, through the room. And boy, if you can do that, I'm your date. You know, because that was my criteria for a man, you know, was weapons and throwing couches for a really long time. I cannot tell you how grateful I am that I got to a drink. I promise you, my whole life, I have hated my guts, and especially yours, because you took my land. And I am raised in the great state of Montana. I am from northwestern Montana. I was raised in Browning, Montana, and the federal government's idea of nutrition for a Native American are commodities. It's like, you know, peaches and pears and heavy syrup in the number 10 cans, glowing blocks of orange cheese and powdered eggs, which I do not eat eggs to this day. But I'm the little kid that, you know, there was always something going on. I was always in trouble. And, you know, my mom is one of 14. I have 45 first cousins, and every single one of them are on my Facebook. My dad's from a slightly larger family. He's the oldest of 17. And, yes, we're Catholic. I have four brothers and a sister. And so I'm at my grandma's, and we are in Glacier Park because it was the last place that you pushed us. And I have this idea on a very summery, beautiful day, and I say, I want to catch a bear. So I take these peaches and pears, and I unload them. I'm detail-oriented. You know, Mary got to look in my purse today. Everything's in a zipper pouch, or, you know, I do really well in the jacket that ties in the back. I'm very comfortable like this. I'm something about being zipped up. So I have rock piles all over my fruit, you know, because I'm just waiting for my bear. And I'm sitting, it's like Bill in the Boomerang. I'm sitting out on the well, and I'm waiting for my bear, and I'm waiting for my bear. And, you know, I don't know that, you know, there's this truck ripping into the drive. My Uncle Huey comes screaming out the porch with a .30-06. His braids are on fire. And there is a silver-tipped grizzly lumbering down the ridge. And I'm, it's my brother bear! And I go chasing after the bear. Now, I promise you, I am always going to pay the price. I will take the consequence. I will be beat. I will go to jail. I will get grounded. I will take away my birthday. I don't care. Because if it is, buckle up. It is going to really be fun, and it's going to be worth it, okay? Are you ready? The ranger comes in, don't feed the bears. I get a, you know, the poster of Smokey the Bear, and I get beat to high heaven. But the story for a very long time, my mom would be, I sat out there, and I sat out there, and I sat out there, and I sat out there. And, you know, that was the summer of the black bear and the brown bear and the cinnamon bear. It was a busy summer for me, I tell you. So you know that I need a drink. Thank you, God. I say it sustained a pulse. And I don't have a slow dance with alcohol. I had a sponsor one time who got two bottles of Boone's Farm, went to a church camp with six of her girlfriends right there. That is bad math. And they drank this, and they ran around the campfire so it would go through their system faster. And I'm just like, you know what? That's a waste of time, because I know you're not supposed to drink like that. I instantly and already know, because I am the drunken babysitter. I am the babysitter that you paid in a quarter bag in a case, because I would come to your house Friday at 5:30, and I would vacuum up that crunchy carpet of yours with that smoking Hoover vacuum. And there's once in a while I can smell that burning vacuum belt, and it is just, home. You know, and I'm raised by a Marine. I can spit, polish, and shine. You come home at bar 30, your house is glorious, and that is $13.50, and I'm getting a fifth, okay? And I don't know about you, but I'm drinking straight up and nothing back. And my kids like to tease me when we go to get snow cones, because where I live today in Dallas, they give, at Bahama Bucks, you get a little umbrella in your drink. I've never had an umbrella in my drink, or a chunk of pineapple, or celery. And if you mix your drinks, I'm sorry. But I was drinking. Because I'll tell you what, man, when you are 13 years old and you've been huffing gas and you've been punching boys and you've been doing whatever it takes to get it off, man, you got to get it on. So I am all about Jack Daniels and Jim Beam and Johnny Walker Red, and I am guzzling. And so when you pay me $13.50, that's a fifth, and I'm getting Everclear. So come on. And I promise you that since I am a very little kid, my parents, my family, if you called Marcy today, she would tell you that I could shapeshift, because I have never been busted. My mom would come into the living room looking for me when I was a tiny baby, and I wouldn't be there. She'd turn around, and four steps later, poof, I was on the couch. So when I am drunk and the cops are coming and I'm at that house, you know, the guy fresh out of the joint and his high school girlfriend and their baby, and I'm watching that baby in that crib and that baby's crying and it has snot on its face, and I'm standing there with, you know, a couple bottles, and I'm like, man, this is wrong. Even I know this is wrong. And the cops would come and be like, 5-0, and we'd shoot down the cellar stairs, because thank you, Montana, that we have basements. And I guess I am in the north. I'm so used to being in, you know, Texas with clay. You don't have basements. It's very boring. Because you got to be in the basement, and, you know, some fullback or lineback would hold on to the cellar door, and, you know, it was a good time to hook up with someone if you hadn't done so yet. So we'd hide, and we'd wait for the cops, and one night I get to the cellar door too late, and I am telling you, I am too light to fight, but I whipped myself up underneath the shelf, and I, you know, there's a bag of potatoes there, and I put these potatoes all over me. Think your potato, think your potato. Man, that cop came in. There was no one in there but us potatoes. And I promise, I have vaporized. I have been invisible. I've been trees. I have never been caught. I learned how to drive drunk in a stolen car. I am a possession virgin. I have never been busted when it came to alcohol, because I will not risk losing my freedom. It's not going to happen, because I like to drink. In 1985, I started shouting at the devil, and I started covering on myself and writing the lyrics to Metallica songs in my blood and stabbing them in my wall. And my mom, you know, by this time, my mom's sprinkling me with holy water when I'm passed out, and she's, you know, putting statues of Jesus and Francis in my bed. I'd wake up with, you know, St. Joseph stuck to my face, and these, God bless these women who prayed me to sobriety. That's all that I have to say is, can I get an amen? I mean, these people were my mother. I, to this day, sings your praises, because I came to you with that Metallica metal up your, my ass shirt on. Sorry, I didn't mean that. Bleep, bleep. And a ripped up shredded pair of jeans that my first sponsor told me she could have read my fifth step. And I was just vibrating, because I was sitting here because I was here for alcohol only, right? Because I am 16 years old and I am in the front row, and you people are crazy. Alcoholics Anonymous 1988, all right? Whew. You could just move the smoke. And you smoked in self-defense. And coffee cups, thank God Stephanie got me the real size of bottle. It was like a waste of time is what somebody handed me. But thank you, I appreciate it. Because I'm drinking, I don't know what you're doing. I'm drinking. So they give me a cup of coffee like this that's half full, and I'm sitting there, and there's some lady crying about the state taking her kids, and some other guy, you know, who was very hairy and but was pushing what I think were his teeth in and out of his mouth. And then another guy that had like bifocals on his bifocals. And then there was hula hoop lady, and hula hoop lady had this ginormous knitting needles. She was knitting an afghan for an elephant. And I think if you're going to do that, you don't want it to be variegated puke colors, right? I mean, it was like moss orange and green. It was disgusting. And it hung on the back of her couch for the 20 years that she sponsored me. That woman would smoke more cigarettes with a purple visor and a purple shirt and a purple shoelaces because it was the 80s, kids. And she would talk about alcoholism and carried her book around. It looked like Rainbow Bright had thrown up in it, okay? Sticky notes, all sorts of stuff. Everybody had covers on their books. Do I want what you have? No, thank you. Mighty generous of you. I'm sure your mother's proud. I gotta go. And this, kids, is why you do not worship the devil. Because I'm bugging out. My poor mom would be like, baby girl, what's the matter? And I'm like, I'm evil. God, I didn't ask to be born. Leave me alone. Back up. Man, when you're making eggs at 8 o'clock in the morning, you just sort of slowly back away. You know, because I still continued to have some outside issues in Alcoholics Anonymous. And sit in the rooms. And tell you that I'm native. And they would tell me things. They were very rude to me. First, they would tell me, why didn't you wear all of the items in the outfit to the meeting? Or, is that a skirt or your father's belt? I'd be like, you people are so rude. I'm never coming back. But then the state of Montana and the Helena Police Department was sort of watching my activity, and I had to come back. And those people picked me up, and they bought me French fries, and they asked me if I had the book Alcoholics Anonymous, which I did. I got my book in October of 1987, because I don't know about you, I jail well. I like jail. I'm a fan of that security. And when you take me to the psych ward, and I can talk to you about what you have done to my people, and if you look at the color of my skin, and if you had my life, you would not be doing this well. I got the song and dance. I'll go to the psych ward, and you will bake me cookies, and it is on. Now, in the psych ward is where I start guzzling vanilla extract, because it is like a gallon-sized jug handle. I'm not kidding you. Have you seen it? It's this size. I know that there's an eighth-grade girl tonight that is drinking almond extract and banana extract and rum extract, because I did everything I could just to get it off. And then I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I did not want what you have. I was not interested in meditation. I had no idea what you were going to do to me except tell me to put my clothes on. But they sat me down, and I promise you, they treated me like their prize pig. They took me to every district meeting, Arizona. This year, she got sober at 16. And then they would bring your big book. Because I stole my book from the psych ward. I got my book. My book is stamped all throughout, and I'll tell you how that came to pass. There is a woman 3 years sober on the psych ward with me. Do not ask me why she's locked up on ward with me, man, but she was there. And she did what any and every self-respecting member of Alcoholics Anonymous can and should do. She loaned me her copy of the book. And I took her book, and I highlighted and I underlined everything that was in her book. I wrapped it up in a pair of guest jeans. I put it in a patient's belongings bag. I called my mom. I said, get up here right now. And she came up, and I said, take this home, put it in my closet, don't look in it. And she did. So when I'm drunk and I'm going to kill myself a few months later because I had been batiking a sheet in my blood because I was finally going to do it, I found that book. And I was like, what's this book? And my mom was very excited I was reading this book. It was incredible. And I thought, yeah, I'm reading this book. I don't know what this book is. So my book is stamped all throughout Psychiatry Department, St. Peter's Community Hospital. And I promise you, H-I-P-I, pink can, yellow can, blue can, I don't know what y'all do here. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It has grown and come to pass in my life today that the women that I sponsor send big books on my birthday because there is a book on the shelf that day. That book saved my life and, most importantly, the lives of my unborn children, because I'll tell you what happened. I kissed a cute boy in Alcoholics Anonymous. He had a service position, and he had a sponsor. He just didn't have a sobriety date. And though it's not my recommendation, God, he was the closest guy to my age for like a decade, okay? And my sponsor was like, leave him alone, giving me the stink eye. And that went over like a box of rocks. Because I did everything you told me to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. I whipped through these steps. I made my amends. I'm sorry I broke your daughter's arm. I'm washing my mom's dishes. My life happened because you saved me from a fate worse than death. You gave me a solution to that absolute rage I've been living with my whole life. I like to drink a lot, and I don't drink today. I am absolutely at perfect peace and ease as the book Alcoholics Anonymous has instructed me to be. And I'm sitting in that meeting, that kid walked in, and I went, whoa, you know. And of course, it is a tradition in my group that once you sit down, you do not get up. If the building's on fire, you can save the newcomer, but you do not get up. And I got up. And you will know that my sponsor knew before the meeting was over, man. Someone ratted me out because he had to know I was in the room. Guy didn't flinch, didn't even look my way. Game on, Holmes. I am like, your ship just came in. Jason Manning, to this day, is reeling from the sucker punch because that kid made a commitment. He would come and make the coffee, and then he would go home and get drunk, and then he would come back and make the coffee. I'm like, if you drink, you lose your AA job. You're fired. And he would come back. And that's pretty much what happened. We had a date on July the 21st of 1991, and April the 22nd of 1992, our first child was born. That's 9 months to the day. And I will tell you, there's nothing like sponsor. My recommendation, only from this podium, was make your amends and use birth control. I promise you that he was 17 years old and I was 19 years old when we made Connor Manning. And then we were 19 years old and 21 years old when we got married. And I can remember to this day that my sponsor and, you know, my father walking me down the aisle, my dad said to me, you know, you don't have to do this. And I said, I want to, Dad. Because that kid was not sober and did not stay sober for the next 7 years. And I stayed married to him, and I stayed active and absolutely on fire in Alcoholics Anonymous. I moved to Cape Cod in 1996, and I called Clancy, and I said, Clancy, I'm in Cape Cod. I'm looking for AA. I'm looking for the hookup. And he said, kid, you've moved to the desert. Click. And I know that I'm sunk, right? And it is y'all. It is your group. It is what has come to pass in my life today is I get busy and I do what you tell me to do. And I'm getting a flyer and I got that guy coming to speak. And I'm going to show them all in Massachusetts what you're supposed to do and how AA is supposed to be. Nobody's coming to my party. And I'm pushing out flyers. I'm doing all this stuff. And then I get a registration. And it is a man by the name of Van L., fat happy face, ... exclamation point, underneath a Clancy sponsee, thank you. And those people drove from here to there to have the Cape Cod Pockets of Enthusiasm. It's my party. I think it's the best party in town. I'd love for you to come. But I knew in that moment that it wasn't about them, that it was about us. And what we get to do to survive and live today free in the world. Let me tell you about my life. Where am I at, kid? Right on. All right. My gosh, I could still be drunk for 2 more minutes. So I married this boy. We popped out another kid because I'm kind of a fan of that. And we end up on Glorious Cape Cod, and I start, you know, sponsoring women. I'm district secretary. I'm doing everything you've taught and told me to do because I am a student of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. What I am is an absolute end product of what the solution has come to pass in me. The fact of the matter is the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, well worked, lead you directly into the arms of God. And my sponsor promised me that if I took these actions in Alcoholics Anonymous, that I would be free. I've been holding my breath my whole life and wanting to punch you. And today, I look at my life in absolute awe. This is my life. My life is the fact that I live in a world today that about when I was 15 years sober, for a really long time, I didn't baptize my mother's children. My grandmother on her deathbed in 1993, bless your children and name them for the saints. Didn't happen. Sorry, but you and your church can you know what. Sober and Alcoholics Anonymous, and for some reason, as the heart moves, I don't know what happened to mine, but the next thing I know, I'm dipping and splashing, I'm dunking my kids, and, you know, I'm taking them to church, and I do what you taught me to do. I go all in, right? You know, I mean, I sit in the front row, and I bring the cookies, and the next thing I know, you know, a church that I believe is holy hired me, and then they educated me, and most importantly, they healed my mother's heart. My mom's grandchildren are baptized. All three of my children baptized confirmation, and Maya Manning, May the 16th, just got confirmed. That woman thinks I walk on water. That woman that I shattered and that I beat her children and I broke her heart thinks I walk on water. It's unreal. Unreal. Wasn't supposed to happen to me because I was supposed to be dead a very long time ago and really wanted to be. So that kid and I were sitting in the front row. Our son comes home from youth group one night, and he says, Mom, I need you to pray for my wife. And I'm like, oh my God, what's her name? We have a target acquired. He goes, I don't know. I just know that I am going to get married someday, and I want her to know we need to be able to recognize each other in the love of God. I can do that. So I start praying, you know, we're praying for his wife. And so I have my, I do not have anything, pirate everything. The shtick was I went into Calvin's room. Calvin, we're going to pray for your wife. And he's like, okay. Calvin's like, she has to like the X-Men. She has to be really good at climbing trees. She has to let me live by my mommy. Yes, she does. And here's Jason Manning, and that boy came to pass that he got sober on July the 8th of 1999. And December of 2000, Maya happened. God saw fit to bless me, of all things, punching crazy drunk with a girl. Thank you. And we're praying for her husband. And Maya Manning says he has to be funny, and he has to be a good worker, and he has to be like my daddy. And I adore you that you have made that man worthy of that little girl's prayer, and I, his devoted wife. Because what has come to pass for us. Now, Calvin Manning is 6'2", and I always say to him, remember, you said you wanted to live by your mommy. He's like, Mom, I was in the second grade. But you said, ooh, you know, what has come to pass. My life today is, you know, I've had 2 deaths, 3 open-heart surgeries. I had a woman I sponsor 18 years die of breast cancer September the 10th. My best friend's husband died the day after leaving my house from a 10-day vacation. 3 open-heart surgeries in my immediate family since February. One of them 4 weeks apart, my mother and my brother. And I am still standing. And better than that, I had lunch with my sponsor in New York City, shopped with my daughter on Madison Avenue, and come to get to be with you. I am sober since August the 28th of 1988. And for that, I owe you my life. Stephanie and Carol Ann and Derek and anybody else who is celebrating tonight, I adore you for continuing to come back and show that the program works. If you are under 6 months sober and you do not have a sponsor or a home group, I implore you to do not leave this building tonight without one. There's a reason why the room is full tonight. And clearly, as we just saw demonstrated in Atlanta, there is no space that could really hold all of us. So I don't know what you have done to me, but I promise you I will keep coming back. I love you.